The epistle for the third Sunday after Epiphany is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 12. Brethren, be not wise in your own conceits, to no man rendering evil for evil, providing good things not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as is in you, having peace with all men, not revenging yourselves, my dearly beloved, but give place unto wrath. For it is written, Revenge is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. But if thy enemy be hungry, give him to eat. If he thirst, give him to drink. For doing this, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 8. At that time, when Jesus was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and adored him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, stretching forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be thou made clean. And forthwith his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith to him, See thou tell no man, but go show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when he entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, and is grievously tormented. And Jesus saith to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion making answer said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man subject to authority, having under me soldiers. And I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. And Jesus, hearing this, marveled, and said to them that followed him, Amen, I say to you, I have not found so great faith in Israel. And I say to you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the exterior darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, Go, and as thou hast believed, so be it done to thee. And the servant was healed at that same hour. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And a leper came and adored him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, when I was very young, I used to look at the pictures in the back of the Catholic book called the Picture Bible. And it was confusing to me because I would see the pictures back there of the land of Capernaum, or the Holy Land, and I would think to myself, how did our Lord perform so many things that he did in a land of rubble or in a desert? And I didn't realize, because I was, I guess, so young, that 2,000 years have, of course, elapsed since the time that our Lord lived in the Holy Land. And so, for many times when we read the New Testament, if we think about the Holy Land as it is now, when we're reading the New Testament, it can leave us confused or with a very bad idea of what that land was like when our Lord actually lived there. And in order to understand some of the events that happened in today's gospel, it's best that we have a clear picture of what the city of Capernaum was at the time of our Lord. For if we were to try to look up a picture of Capernaum today, the most you might find is some ancient ruins or the columns that are left from the synagogue that the centurion in today's gospel had built. but you would never know the grandeur that was Capernaum at the time of our Lord. In his Life of Christ, Father Isidore O'Brien gives an accurate account of what Capernaum would have been like when our Lord was there. He writes first that just as Nazareth was so admirably adopted to our Lord's hidden life, it's kind of like Round Top. It was hid in the hills, is a very quiet area, and so our Lord could live in peace there for 30 years, just as Bishop Kelly founded the seminary and the convent for our training to be in a peaceful and secluded area so that the young religious could learn the religious life before going out onto the missions. Well, it was the same way with our Lord, though. After he had spent the 30 years in Nazareth with our Lord and with Our Lady, rather, and St. Joseph, there needed to be a place better suited to his public life, and Capernaum was just that place. Capernaum was situated on a main highway of commerce that actually connected the entire world at the time. All traffic in the entire world, whether it be from the Far East or Persia, from Roman Europe, even up from Egypt, all traffic had to travel through Capernaum. Philosophers and magicians from India and Mongolia, merchants from Babylon, soldiers from Macedonia and Rome, even adventure seekers, whether they be from the Nile in Africa, all the way up to the upper Ganges in India, countless men regularly walked the streets of Capernaum. Rich caravans and camel trains, wagons of all sizes. In a word, everything that the world prized and possessed at the time was carried through the city of Capernaum when our Lord healed in its streets and taught in its synagogue. And when Matthew was sitting at the toll booth collecting custom. Men from Greece and Syria, Egypt and Jerusalem, even Rome itself sent her citizens to Capernaum to learn the international news of the day and to learn from others. It was truly probably one of the most magnificent cities of our Lord's time. And as we keep in mind then what a great city Capernaum was, how magnificent it would have been to see its gold and tapestries, its art and sculptures, to smell the odors of its perfumes and incense and the fresh-baked foods through the air, the sounds of the world's best instruments, the news and the daily chatter. What a delight it would have been to be in Capernaum at that time. And when we realize how great Capernaum is, then we can stop and think to ourselves, what would it have been like to be a leper on the outside of that city, to be seemingly the only man in the world not fit to enjoy the grandeur of Capernaum. As if leprosy was not a great enough trial, how cruel it must have seemed to be a leper outside of Capernaum. Imagine then the pain in that man's voice, the sadness, as he said for the first time, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And think to yourself, in a certain sense, aren't we all lepers trying to find our way into Capernaum? Are we not spiritual lepers who carry with us the contagion of our sins, our faults, and our failings? And yet we are striving to get into the paradise of heaven. Our prayer, if we want to get to heaven, must be the same as that poor leper. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Of course, our Lord does will to clean our souls, and he does so most specifically in each sincere confession that we make when we humbly receive the sacrament of penance. But that is not the only time that we must call upon our Lord's help to free us from the leprosy of sin and to make us worthy of entering the eternal Capernaum. One of the most fundamental truths of our Catholic faith that we must remember day in and day out is that of ourselves, we can do nothing without our Lord's help and assistance. By the same token, though, we do have a lot of work to do if we are going to get to heaven. There is much work that we must do to save our souls, to stay on that straight and narrow path, and not to succumb to the temptations around us. But we cannot do even the smallest of these works alone. And so we must learn from the leper in today's gospel how we are to go about our own lives. To first humbly approach our Lord, ask him for his aid and his help, but then be ready to do all that he commands of us. This work of first asking for grace and then complying with it is what spiritual writers call distrust of self. By distrust of self is meant that we don't trust in our own thoughts, our own plans, or our own deeds on how we are going to set the path for ourselves to heaven. But on the contrary, we trust only in God's grace, and only with his help can we be sure that we are on the proper path, that we are doing all that he expects. In simple phrase, then, we go according to God's plan and not our own. And to help us with this, since it is a daily task, and it is a task that is of the utmost importance, there are four steps that we can take. Like the leper, the first thing we can do is go to God, fall down at his feet, especially here in the chapel, when we have him present in the tabernacle, and ask him for the graces that you need. Ask him to help you see how powerless you would be left to yourself, as it were, outside the city as a leper. With confidence, then, once you have prayed for this grace, and once you have begun to realize that you can do nothing on your own, that not one of us could do anything on our own, then have confidence that our Lord will do anything that we ask, as long as we ask for it humbly, and as long as what we ask for helps us to get to heaven. And as we begin this practice of realizing how much we need his help, it will then help us to also make it through discouragements or even our faults and failures in a new light. When we fall, we will have a different perspective. We will not be overly depressed or discouraged at our faults and failings, but we will realize that they came when we depended more on ourselves than on God. If we fail to use short prayers like, "Lord, be my strength," or "My Jesus, mercy," when we are in times of temptation, and we realize that after having failed to pray in such a way that we have fallen, well, we will then realize once again how much we must have recourse to our Lord. You know, oftentimes our pride insinuates itself, and we can think sometimes, well, I won't bother our Lord for this or that, or I'll be strong enough to overcome this temptation. I don't need to say a short prayer. But my dear friends, that is just pride and foolishness. Our Lord wants us to come to him. As he said so many times, he wants us to ask over and over again for the graces that we need. And we will learn very quickly that if we don't do this, there is not even a small trial that we can overcome on our own merits or on our own efforts. If also we were to entertain any person, place, or thing that could or would lead us into sin, we should not then be shocked if we fall into that sin, for by entertaining the thing in the first place, we have moved ourselves away and turned from our Lord's help. If we fall, we will see that the problem was not with our Lord or his grace, but that we presumed on our own strength and did not stay close to him in prayer. In short, then, my dear friends, we know that our Lord can do all things. We know that he has the power to save us from eternal damnation. But each day, from hour to hour, and from moment to moment, we must remember to call upon him for that power, for that aid, and for that service. Make the habit, then, of praying to our Lord in all of your needs, every day, at all times. Think of him whenever you are in need of even the slightest help. In the gospel, we saw that the leper asked our Lord for his help. Now we remember that our Lord told the leper there were still things he had to do. Even though the miracle had taken place, even though his leprosy had been cured, there were still things the leper himself had to do. So when we pray, of course, we do not then sit back and let our Lord take care of things. There will still be actions that we have to perform. There will still be things that we may have to avoid or commandments that we may have to fulfill. Just as the leper had to humble himself before the priest and offer the gift required by the law. Once our Lord takes care of the main issue, he may leave some work for us to do. But that does not mean that he has not heard our prayer. So pray to him then, and then as you pray, be ever ready and willing to do whatever he commands you after that. When you pray, for instance, for the gift to practice virtue, to obey the commandments, to live purely, chastely, or charitably in this life, our Lord will hear your prayer. But he may require some works of you after he has given the grace. He will never be wanting in his power. He will always give us what we need. We just need to learn how to ask for it and then comply with it. The leper said without hesitation, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And the centurion also that we read about gave an entire discourse on how power and authority work, and how one is exercised and the other one is obedient. And yet, he knew that our Lord was still the one who had to command the sickness to depart from his servant. And he went to our Lord and asked him to use this power. And then, when our Lord did cure his servant, we know that the centurion was thankful and that he was a good man at heart from then on. Let us then, my dear friends, ask our Lord, no matter how many times a day we think we are calling upon him, ask him for all the help that you need. Ask him first and foremost to remove from you that leprosy of sin in your lives, so that one day you may enter the eternal Capernaum of heaven. And do not forget to ask him also for this grace for your family, your friends, and your loved ones, that they may too may follow the path to heaven, just as the good centurion asked our Lord for help, not only for himself, but also for his beloved servant. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.